Welcome to the 1 Year Daily Chronological Bible Studies Podcast. This is Rodney Harrier, your host. If you are looking for a fresh and easy approach to read through God's Word and understand it, you have come to the right place. By following these chronological Bible studies, you will understand how the events, characters, and writings fit together in their proper sequence. What you learn can change your life forever. This is day two of our chronological Bible studies. Today's title is called Judgment and Grace. Today's Bible reading is Genesis 4, 1 through 6, 8, and 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Title of today's lesson is Judgment and Grace. Parents want their adult children to live responsible or even godly lives. However, sometimes they cause them grief. When they grow up, they might commit crimes, use drugs, or become alcoholics. Or they do foolish things, get into financial trouble, mistreat their family members, and end up divorced if married. This can happen even after parents faithfully and lovingly support their children in all their activities. It truly is grieving. Even after they take their children to church and their children perhaps make professions of faith and get baptized, this can still happen. What are we to do? Parents have done these things. How is it that their children turn away from God? And how can we get them back? Today's Bible study may help us answer these questions. First of all, we have to look at our sin. Our sin causes God to judge. In our Bible reading in Genesis, we last left Adam and Eve cast out of the Garden of Eden, and God had proclaimed curses on each of them for their sins. Now as they procreate, their sin's nature genetically pass on to their children. Thus we have the first reason people turn away from God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are immune. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and this way death came to all men because all sinned. Each person inherits a sin nature from his parents, but every man and woman is personally responsible for his own sins. We can't pay for the sins of our children. They are responsible for their own. But we can pray for them. Right? Yes. And we can show them an example to live by. Returning to our story, God judges Cain for murder. Sin causes jealousy and strife. There was a sibling rivalry between Cain and Abel, the two adult boys of Adam and Eve. The two boys brought offerings to the Lord. Cain was angry because God accepted Abel's offering, but not his. Why does God favor Abel's offering over Cain's? The answer is that Cain's offering is a grain offering, a contribution from his crops. The text doesn't say that his grain offering is the first fruit of his crops, so maybe it wasn't even his best. In contrast, Abel's offering is a sacrifice of one of his firstborn sheep. It's a better gift born from a righteous heart, Hebrews 11:4. His gift pictures what Jesus would later do for us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world by offering himself as a sacrifice for our wrongs, John 1:29 and 1 Peter 3:18. God favors Abel's sacrifice, and this makes Cain jealous. Jealousy is volatile. The Lord tells Cain sin is crouching like a lion to devour. Is crouching at the door. You must master it. Genesis 4:7. How can Cain master it? Cain can master it in the same way we can, through faith in God and obedience to him. Cain fails, and it leads him to murder his brother. Because of Cain's sin, God banishes him from his place and places a curse on him. The results of sin are often devastating. In God's mercy, he doesn't kill Cain. He graciously protects him. In Genesis 5, there's a genealogical record of Adam's descendants. The reader might first notice that there is a chosen line of descendants from Adam. This is called a toldot. Adam's firstborn son is Cain, but God doesn't mention him in this genealogy. Seth is the first of the chosen line, and thereafter, certain individuals from his family tree are also part of it. Why is this? The answer is that God is selecting a family line which he's choosing to favor. This line will lead them to the formation of the nation of Israel. Through Adam's seed, later on, Jesus Christ would be born. We see this in Matthew 1, verses 1 through 16. The red ribbon of God's salvation, traced through much of the scriptures, begins with this toldot. Although most of us are not Jewish, God now offers us an opportunity to become adopted into his family through his son, Jesus Christ. According to Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14, this is amazing grace. To be clear, however, we are not saying God gave the Jews spiritual life because they were in the line of Abraham. And we do not need to become Jews to become saved. Jesus came to his own people, but they didn't welcome him. But to all who receive him, he gives a right to become children of God. John 1:12. We can become adopted children of God through belief in Jesus Christ as his son. We become heirs with Christ. Because of God's judgment and grace, we lead others to God for salvation. Seth, Enoch, and Noah are bright lights in Adam and Eve's family line. When Enosh, Eth's son, was born, men began to call upon the name of the Lord, according to Genesis 4:26. Did this happen by chance? Probably not. Seth took his new fatherly role seriously. He led his children to seek the Lord. And for a time in his own generation, they didn't. If Seth did this for his family, shouldn't we do the same? This is going to be challenging and some work, but we can do it. And if we lead, our children will most of the time follow us. Do we set the example of worship and devotion by daily spending personal time with God? That's a challenging thought, isn't it? That's the only way our children are going to learn. You are doing that right now. This one-year daily chronological Bible study is a good way to do that, and they help you stay on track. Do we lead our families to seek the Lord by spending time with them in Bible study and prayer? If they have a problem, do we take a moment and say, let's pray about it right now? Do we go to church with them? Or do we just send them? Do we serve the Lord together? If we do, our children will learn to call upon the name of the Lord and seek him and serve him. A casual reading of Genesis 5 also shows us that consequences bring death. They live a long time. That's true. Death eventually comes to Adam and Eve, however, and all their descendants. The Apostle Paul would later write, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 6:23. Have we accepted God's gift of eternal life? If so, here's another application. Christian, it's good to live for God right now. For we only have a brief time on this earth to please him. We can get caught up in hobbies. We can get caught up in our work. We can get caught up even in families or relationships. And yet, if we do not spend our time trying to please God, we could be wasting it. A question many people have when they read the early chapters of Genesis is, how did the people of that era live so long? Christian apologists have different theories about this. And we'll try to take a look at that in the end of this podcast. If you'd like to stay, we'll share those theories with you. Perhaps, however, because of our sin nature, God doesn't want us to continue living long lives. We may feel grief over the loss of a good person, but we would feel relief over the death of an evil person. What kind of a world would we have if evil people could live not just 70 to 80 years, but 800 to 900 years? Thank God for His wisdom. God judges the world, but one family receives His grace. In Noah's day, man's wickedness was so great that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, all the time. This grieved God. Because of this, He was going to wipe out all the people, land creatures, and fowl off the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is judgment. Yes. But in judgment, the Lord is often gracious. We'll be looking at the story of Noah in our next lesson. Our focus verse for today is Psalm 143:1. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Join me for a prayer response to today's Bible study. Dear Father in heaven, great and righteous is your name. Your character, your very being, is righteous and holy. You must judge sin, not because you are mean or unfair. You long to bless us and save our souls from eternal destruction. Dear Lord, I pray we would remember your judgment and grace because we love our family, friends, and acquaintances. I pray we would share the gospel with them. I pray we would be a good witness of what God has done for us, and the love of Christ would constrain us to witness. Please give us a daily portion of courage. Please forgive our sins and lead us from temptations that would ruin our testimony. Dear Father, if we have children who have strayed from you, we pray that you would return them and help us, in the meantime, live a good Christian example in our daily testimony, in our prayer life, in our service, in our worship, in everything, Lord. May our children see you, and may they see the difference that a life committed to Christ can make. Help us not get distracted. The devil wants us to get distracted. Lead us away from that to holiness and righteousness and love. We pray for the sake of your name, Jesus. Amen. Looking ahead, will God put up with evil forever? There is a need for God to remove evil and renew the world in Noah's day. And someday He will do it differently. More about that in our next lesson. As was promised, we will now talk about longevity. When we read the early chapters of Genesis, we question how the people in that era lived so long. Another is, why did their lives shorten considerably after the flood? Different theories have been given regarding the answer to these questions. Here are three that could explain how people lived so long in the early ages of the earth and why that has not continued. First, there may have been a limited gene pool affecting longevity. Answers in Genesis is an organization that gives scientific answers to questions people have about creation, the worldwide flood in Noah's day, and other questions from the book of Genesis. As you may have read, people from before the flood often lived 800 to 900 years. These creation scientists suggest that the longevity in the days from Adam to Noah could mean that the longevity gene was present before Noah. However, due to a possible limited gene pool in its descendants, that gene may not have passed on to succeeding generations. Indeed, the oldest human being born after the flood was Eber, who lived 464 years, according to Genesis 11, verses 16 through 17. After that, the longevity of all people significantly decreased. Here is another theory. the changed environment affected longevity. The Earth's pre-flood condition was not one of the polar ice caps, but a worldwide garden greenhouse. This provided an abundant amount of oxygen over the entire planet. An environmental protection vapor may have shielded people from the sun's natural aging rays and provided natural moisture for the plants. This would be according to Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 through 30, and Genesis 7, verses 11 through 12. This was not present after the flood. After the great flood and its reduced oxygen, the new environment may have reduced the length of life and the size of reptiles, like dinosaurs. But that is another subject. A third theory is one that we gave in the Bible study, is perhaps God reduced longevity. Perhaps because of our sinful nature, God doesn't want us to continue living long lives. We may feel grief over the loss of a good person, but we feel relief over the death of an evil person. Can you imagine what the world would be like if bad people were allowed to live not 80 or 90 years, but 800 to 900 years? Perhaps, if that was still true, we would have needed another flood. Moses is the probable author of Genesis, according to Luke 24:27. And Psalm 90 is attributed to him. Psalm 90, 1 through 3 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turned men back to dust, saying, Return to dust, O sons of men. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. The point of Moses' psalm is that all of us will die one day. The typical age for passing in his day was 70 to 80 years, as it is now. Seeing the brevity of life, Moses prayed to God, Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. It is common for young people and adults to think only about living for today's pleasures. We waste our lives doing unimportant things. Most of us want to live for a long time. However, it is not how long we live, but how we live that's important. We need to use our opportunities for the Lord while we still have them, and teach that to our young people. As an anonymous person once wrote, Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you can receive the episodes as soon as they are available. Thank you for joining us. Remember, go with God, and He goes with you.